In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. Today we're asked to put away our calculators, time clocks, and other devices, for these things have today to do with the things of the workaday world, of employment, of union negotiations, of wages, bonuses, and paychecks, the world of equity and fairness. And indeed, as we gather here as a Christian congregation this morning, even as all Christians gather throughout the world, we gather, to quote the great seal of the United States of America, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. When the first thing we say here are the baptismal words, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we're declaring our identity, all other distinctions and differences aside. We're equal to each other in Christ. For we stand before God as sinners all, redeemed all, by God's grace alone, by God's free grace and favor. Interesting, as we prepare for the, let me get this right, quincentennial celebration of the Lutheran Reformation next month, we're reminded already today of the fundamental foundation of the evangelical Lutheran theology, namely the three solas, sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, scripture alone, faith alone, and grace alone. And let us add, Christ alone also. Now this parable of the laborers in the vineyard testifies how the kingdom or reign of heaven is not a reign merely of equal rights, minimum wages, or grades of work. Not rights, wages, or work at all. The kingdom of heaven is, Jesus says, now and forever, built on the basis of grace, the grace of God, sola gratia. In this parable, Jesus brings out in each of us, if it's effective, mankind's common, universal, fundamental misconception that the forgiveness of sins and salvation is, like everything else, somehow based on our works, somehow our being qualified for the kingdom by some quality in us or in our own preparations or works or merits or accomplishments. We have to deserve it. This is what the kingdom or reign of heaven is like right now, says Jesus, and forever. And he tells a story of a master who hires workers for his vineyard. It's a very simple story, easy to understand. The master spends all day looking for those he can hire. And so he hires some first thing in the morning of the 12-hour workday. And we're even told the wage that he promises, a denarius a day. But then we see him hiring more workers at 9, at noon, and at 3. And he promises to them only to give whatever is right, these being merely incidental to the story. It's that last group hired at the 11th hour that creates the problem. And it's a problem for those who worked all day, as well as a problem for those of us who spend our time and energy comparing ourselves to others instead of standing together in awe and praise of the great gift of forgiveness, free gift of reconciliation and salvation that is ours sola Christus, sola fide, in Christ alone, by faith alone. Those hired first came, and when they saw that those hired last received the wage, same wage they were promised, a denarius, they thought they would or should receive more. But why? Makes sense. Fair is fair. Doesn't it seem unfair that those who come late and who do not put in a whole day's work still receive 100% of the wage promised to us? Us. So they grumbled. And I love that word in Greek because it sounds like grumbling. Gangedzo. They grumbled at the master of the house, comparing themselves and their presumed rights and others rather than to see the truly good before them in their master. The master answers them, friend. That word is used only three times in Matthew's gospel. Once here, once in the parable of the wedding feast to a man without a wedding garment, and once finally to Judas, who led the captors to Jesus when he was betrayed by him. Friend. It has a certain bite to it, answering a person who is clearly in the wrong. Now, this isn't, of course, the same meaning as when we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, or when Jesus says elsewhere, greater love has no one than this, that he man lay down his life for his friends. Friend, I am doing you no wrong, says the master. He gave them what they agreed on. And this reminds me, anyway, of Jesus' instruction. So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. And our duty is not only to live our own life by faith in God's word, but to see others, to see one another in the same light in which God sees us every day, namely the light of his grace. Jesus has the master asked, do you begrudge my generosity? Well, certainly God is generous. Generosity with his salvation that he gives to the whole world. But we're here to see more, namely God's grace. That is, that none of us enter the kingdom of God by our own merits at all, but all of us solely because of God's grace. That is God's favor, God's blessing, God's kindness, solely on account of his love. His love that doesn't overlook sin or excuse it, but love so deep, so broad, so high, that it actually removes our sin by the blood of the Lamb of God, his Son shed on the cross. Now, the one telling this otherwise simple story to his disciples is the same one, the very one, who will open the kingdom of God to all believers by shedding his own blood for them and for the whole world on the cross. Both those we consider big shots in the kingdom and those who only show up at the 11th hour, like you and me. Those who reject God's grace, of course, who, standing in judgment of others, who spend their lives grumbling at the master, will face a day of judgment. Being rejected because of their own rejection of God's grace, they will scream, that's not fair. But it is fair. The master gives us what he has promised. By grace, I'm saved. Grace, free and boundless. My soul, believe and doubt it not. Why stagger at this word of promise? Has Scripture ever falsehood taught? No. Then this word must true remain. By grace you too will life obtain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible.